Blog Talk Radio.
Have tuned into Home, Helen on Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us. Yes, you, and you. Let us exalt that wonderful name of Jesus together. I tell you, this is another glorious day in the Lord, and I am so glad that you, and you that have joined me on today. And I know you're going to be in for a tremendous blessing and treat on today as we talk about life is in the blood. And I want you to grab your Bibles, come right on in, and then make yourself right at home and turn to me and with me over to that scripture, Romans chapter number 5, verses 8 through 21. And we're going to read that in your hearing and get right into our lesson on today. Grab your pen and your pencil and take some good notes. I know you're going to be tremendously blessed. Father, we come right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the power that's in the Holy Ghost. We bind the devil. We bind the forces of darkness that will come and fight your people. We declare, God, that your warring angels will be loosed and released to go and fight on your behalf of your people and to minister to their hearts and minds. And Father, bless this lesson on today and give your people ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to their church today. Give them revelation. Father, give them consolation in their hearts, mind, and soul, and peace, love, and joy. Let them reside in the principles of the kingdom. And God, we thank you. Amen. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, I'm going to read to you in your hearing from our lesson text today, Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 21. And it reads on this line, but God commended his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed on to all men. But for all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that have not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, have abound unto many, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the grace that shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of the one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man disobedient many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered in the offense that the offense might abound. But where sin abound, grace did much more abound. That as sin have reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I want to look at one other scripture before we get right into our lesson, and that's Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. It says, "For life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul." And so we're going to look at the wages of sin is death, but only Christ's shed blood can pay the price for sin. Let's take a look. There is a scarlet thread, as we know, running throughout the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. The term scarlet thread comes from the famous story of the scarlet thread of a cord or rope that Rahab hung in the window, as recounted in Joshua chapter number 2. The scarlet thread became her main means of protection and salvation. In this quarter of lesson, we are tracing throughout the generations humanity means of redemption and our scarlet thread of salvation. Now, the scarlet thread we will consider involves a trail of blood, which began in Genesis and in the Garden of Eden and flowed through every generation and age, touching every book in the Bible, all the way back to the end of the world predicted in the book of Revelation. This river of blood started with the killing of animals in order to make robes to cover the nakedness of Adam and Eve, which was revealed by their sins of disobedience. Next, we view Abel's offering, then the altar built by Noah and Job and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the other patriarchs. On these altars, they sacrificed animals, seeking to appease the wrath of a just God against their unrighteousness. Now, in Moses' days, God unveiled the sacrifice of the Passover lamb and the requirement that the people smeared the blood on their doorposts and lintel, which provided protection from the death angel that passed through Egypt on the night prior to Israel's exodus. Under the law, the people observed daily sacrifices at the tabernacle and temple for hundreds of years. Many millions, if not thousands, hundreds of millions of animals gave their lives and their blood to help mankind attain and maintain a relationship with God. However, their blood was unable to reconcile mankind fully to God. They served only to establish a pattern and pointing towards a future day when the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, would shed his blood and as the ultimate sacrifice, the only sacrifice that could fully atone for the sin of humankind. Let's look at the emphasis on the blood. Blood is one of the essential elements of the human body. Without blood, there is nothing else in our body works, nothing alive or nothing lives. All organs and components of the body depend upon the blood to deliver oxygen, nutrients, and life itself. As the focus verse of our lesson today, the life of the flesh is in the blood. As vital to human life as blood is, so is the blood of Jesus Christ, critical to maintaining spiritual life in the church. Let's look at the source of life. The average adult has about 7 to 8 pints of blood, depending on the person's body mass. Blood consists basically of 4 components: the red blood cell, the white blood cell, the platelets, and the plasma, and straw-like color fluid, which the other 3 components are suspended. Now, red blood cells, are the small, flattened, and indented discs of iron-rich hemoglobin. Blood gets its bright red color when these cells pick up oxygen in the lungs. These cells travel through the body, releasing oxygen to all the various tissues and oxygen or organs of the body, which depends on oxygen for life. Red cells live for about 4 months. Each day, our bone marrow create new red cells to replace the dying ones. Let's take a look at the white blood cells. White blood cells are the main defender protecting the body. They travel the blood vessels, seeking bacteria, viruses, and other potential threats to the health of the body. They move in and out of the bloodstream into affected tissues to fight infection, and they seek to destroy infected cells, even cancer cells. These white cells produce antibodies that recognize foreign materials and work to destroy and to neutralize them. When finding a foreign substance invading the body, white cells numbers and surrounded the invader to isolate it. The white cells give their own life. They die to create a pocket of pus around the invader until they are able to expel it out of the body. Further, having once fought a germ, the white cell system remembers how to make a specific antibody needed when it encounters a similar germ in the future. Now let's take a look at the platelets. The platelets are the tiny oval-shaped protein cells that help in clogging process. Platelets gather in areas of an injury, a wound, or break in the blood vessel, or to block and to seal off the leak. Now, these blood cells circulate throughout the body and push by a pump, which is the heart, that beat continuously without even stopping to rest. Further, a healthy heart never requires lubrication or maintenance. As the heart pumps the blood, it travels through a gigantic maze of arteries, veins, filaries to reach every cell of every tissue of every organ and every part of the body. This network of blood vessels, if stretched out into one line, will be 60,000 miles long. A red blood cell can leave the heart and pick up oxygen from the lungs and nutrients from the bowels, and then transport them through the maze of the body's vessels, blood vessel, to release it into its cargoes to specific cells at the furthest extremes of the body. There it will pick up waste to discard and make it back to the heart ready for another trip. It takes about 20 seconds, my God, that's the part of this miracle we are housed in that is called the body. Now let's take a look at the blood respected. The blood is to be highly respected because life itself is in the blood. You'll see that in Leviticus 17, verse 11, which I read earlier. When blood ceases to flow through the human body's blood vessel, death is imminent. The blood cell failed to reach any tissue or cell of our body, that tissue or cell dies. Further, as the previous and precious blood is essential to our physical life and existence, so it is to our spiritual life and eternal life. The shed blood of Jesus Christ is vital to the life of a believer. The Jewish people possessed a high regard for the importance of blood. Consequently, their regards for its importance, along with God's commandments pertaining to it, contribute to many restrictions in the laws pertaining to blood. For example, the scripture admonished individuals to abstain from eating or drinking of blood. See that in Genesis 9:4, Leviticus 17, verses 10 through 16, Acts chapter 15 through 29. Blood is important, and God chose to involve it in the effecting of mankind's redemption. Let's look at blood in salvation. Only by the blood of Jesus Christ so do we have any hope for the meeting God in peace. Our eternal destiny depends upon this. Jesus paid the sacrificial price of redemption. We should never pay for ourselves and which we could never pay for ourselves. Now let's look at the blood of the sacrifice. Now the ideal of seeing animals slaughtered in our contemporary worship service is foreign to the Western Christianity. It is hard for us even to imagine so much bloodshed associated with worshiping God. The very mention of animal sacrifice brings to mind pagan, heathen religion. However, the shedding of the blood was essential to the Old Testament worship, and its purpose established the pattern that Christ eventually fulfilled. Although in the present church age, the actual slaying of animal and sprinkling the blood has ceased, and the principle of sacrifice and offering are still in effect. However, now it is the blood of Jesus Christ that covers our sins. One sacrifice performed for all and forever is effective. The blood Jesus Christ shed at Calvary is still as effectual today. Of the 613 commandments in the Pentateuch, 122 commandments give various details on sacrifice, and more than 100 other laws provide instruction on the priesthood service and the rituals associated with sacrificial system. Ultimate worship includes a sacrifice. However, the animal of the sacrifices were always considered a substitute, looking forward in faith to a future ultimate sacrifice that could actually cure sin's problem. At the tabernacle or the temple, the daily sacrifice was a burnt offering every morning and evening, doubled on the Sabbath, and 10 more on the monthly new moon. All of the feast days, including the days of unleavened bread, feast of weeks, feast of tabernacles, has a list of prescribed offerings. The total for the year added up to 1,300 animals and 1,400 lambs, 116 bullocks and 49 rams and 31 goats. Personal sacrifice or individual added many more animals to be slain. At Passover, over 250,000 lambs were slain, one for every family in the nation. Then at the Feast of Tabernacles, another 250,000 bullocks were slain for the family peace offering. And to this, all the individual burnt offerings, trespass offering, and sin offering of the people and the tabernacle altar must have seemed like a stockyard slaughtering house. At the time of Christ, when King Herod was remodeling the temple, the altar was expanded to 36 feet across the top and 15 feet high, large enough to accommodate a large number of sacrifices simultaneously. The ground beneath the altar was filled with carbon, corners and channels to drain the blood away from the areas to the valley and to Brook Kedron outside the city. Today, visitors to the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem can see the large cave beneath the rock upon which many scholars believe the altar had rested upon. Now, let's take a look at reconciliation and atonement. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse 18 through 19 says, "For as much as we know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without spot and without wrinkle, without blemish and without spot." Now, atonement, often used as equivalent of reconciliation, means to be at one with or at peace with God. It is to cause the alienation to cease and to overcome or to do away with the hindrance that caused separation and thus be sought and harmonized and brought us back into harmony. Atonement changes the judicial status from one of the condemnation to one of justification. For us to be reconciled to God, the first step is God, not man. Nothing mankind can do will pay for the price of sin that banishes us from God's presence. God makes this the first move by providing a vehicle so that reconciliation can take place. Then a person can respond to our opportunity God has provided. Only through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross can we be reconciled to God. Sin contaminated the blood of mankind. The bloodline of all humankind is inherited from Adam and carries the guilt of sin within it. The reconciliation requires the shedding of the sinless blood. Therefore, no person can pay the price. But because Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, he did not inherit a tainted bloodline of Adam, which was contaminated by guilt, the guilt of sin. Christ's blood was pure and sinless. Now, on the annual Day of Atonement, the high priest made atonement for the sanctuary, the tabernacle, the altar, and especially for all the people. It was the people's sin that defiled the things of the tabernacle so as to make it unfit for the presence of the Holy One. Blood was the medium of atonement because in it, it had life in it. The blood of the offer victory did then atone for the souls of the offender. Romans chapter 5, verse number 9 through 11 states, "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." Salvation is more than just being justified. We are justified by Jesus' shed blood, reconciled by his crucifixion and death. However, we receive full salvation by his life, his resurrection. We are partakers of the Lord's death, burial, and by repentance and water baptism in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin, apply the Lord's sacrifice to us personally and bring in reconciliation and justification. But complete salvation comes when we partake of Christ's life and resurrection by receiving the Holy Ghost. Now let's take a look at Hebrews 9, verse number 12 and verse 14. "Neither by the blood of goats and of calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having attained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling clean and sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Let's look at Romans 3, verses 23 through verse 26. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sin that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believed in Jesus." Now let's take a look at the price of sin. The scriptures say, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Let's look at sin and how it separates us from God. God and sin cannot coexist. Sin is contrary to the nature of God. Sin or rebellion allowed in the presence of God will compromise the characteristic of deity. In an angelic realm, when rebellion was found in Lucifer, the reaction was swift and immediate. There was no long drawn out judicial process to consider what to do. It could not be allowed to continue. God cast Satan from his presence as lightning. Oh, my gosh. No sin can enter heaven. and there shall be in no wise entered into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. But they which are written in the law, Lamb, book of life, Revelation 21 and verse 27. Now let's look at remission of sin. As I always will point out, this is very critical to grasp a hold to. Remission of sin is more than just forgiveness. It involves the doing away and the removal of sin. When we receive the remission of sins, it is as if all records in heaven of our sins are purged of any mention of their existence in our lives. Our sins are not just forgiven, they are forgotten, gone, removed, done away with, therefore non-existent. If Jesus died on the cross for salvation of all people, then is everyone saved? If Jesus shed his blood to pay the price for sin for everyone automatically forgiven? Obviously, something else is necessary in order for an individual to take advantage of Jesus' universal sacrifice. That something involves faith, one's personal decision to embrace the provision of Christ. We have to respond. We have to accept. We have to claim the sacrifice for ourselves. The blood must be applied. It is futile for us to pray, Lord, do something to save the lost. God has already done everything necessary on his part to provide salvation. But mankind, in their free will and choice, require individual to respond to his provision through faith as well as repentance and accepting the plan of salvation as being baptized in his name for the remission of their sin and receiving the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. That's how we receive his provision. Now, Acts 2, verse 38, it gives the command for individuals to repent of their sins, to be baptized in the water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sin, and to receive the Holy Ghost, which is evidenced by speaking with other tongues. Baptism in the name of Jesus Christ is for the remission of sin. And when you look that word remission up, it is to do away, to remit, to cast out, to blot out. The scripture revealed that without shedding of blood is no remission, Hebrews 9 and verse 22. Consequently, being baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sin is a significant part of having the blood Jesus shed for us at Calvary applied to us personally. Now let's look at washed by the blood. The Old Testament contains over 100 verses or passages referring to washing in water. Numerous washings have significant symbolic meaning with a spiritual application. The altar of the tabernacle, the temple, was surrounded by 10 lavers used for various washing associated with the sacrifices. The large laver between the altar and the holy place in both the tabernacle and the temple was for the priests to wash before entering the sanctuary. The sacrificial altar, brazen altar, was a type of repentance which the scripture commanded to today. Washing in the laver, or the brazen laver, was a type of water baptism in the New Testament plan of salvation. Further, the holies of holies, where the presence of God dwell, was a type of believers today receiving the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. When the veil was rent in two from the top to the bottom, it symbolized the opening of the availability to all people to enter into and encounter the Spirit of God. After the exposure of sin, David prayed, "Have mercy upon me. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow," Psalms 51, verses 1 through 7. Nothing cleanses from a person from wrongdoing like the forgiveness and the washing of the Lord. Jeremiah 4 and 14 said, "O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved." The old gospel hymn states, "What can wash away my sin? nothing but the blood of Jesus. In Damascus, Ananias said to Saul, who will became the Apostle Paul? And now why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, and wash away thy sin, calling on the name of the Lord. You'll find that over in Acts chapter 22:16. Any Jew would have easily understood the concept of washing away sin. It signifies a cleansing, a turning away from the past evil life. The many Old Testament ceremonial washing were always with water, but they were understood as figurative of being cleansed by the blood. The water of purification mentioned in Numbers 19, is typical efficacy to having flowed over the ashes of the sin offering. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Let's look at Revelation 7 and verse 14. And he said unto me, these are they which come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Let's look at Revelation 1 and 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him they loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Revelation 1 and 5. As we close on today, we must recognize life is in the blood, both physically and spiritually. The human body needs a continual flow of blood throughout the body, and we believers must have the blood of Jesus flowing through our lives and through our churches. Otherwise, we are spiritually dead and our churches are dead. Just as our physical bodies are totally dependent upon the blood constantly flowing through our body, so our spiritual lives are totally dependent on the blood of Christ for their existence. We are born in sin with blood contaminated by the inhabited sin nature. Therefore, we have the curse of death upon us, and we cannot pay the price of salvation. Only through the blood of Jesus Christ can we find remission or removal of sin. Only by the sacrifice of the Lamb of God upon Calvary Cross can we ever expect to stand before the judgment seat of Christ free from all condemnation. Yes, the blood of Jesus Christ washes away sins. Thank God for the blood. My God, I tell you, the blood of Jesus is such a powerful, powerful sacrifice. It was the ultimate price that was paid for the remission of our sin, to reconcile us back unto the Lord Jesus Christ, our God. I tell you, this is a wonderful lesson because there is life in the blood. Plead that blood. Apply that blood to your life and watch our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ do a great and a mighty work in and through our lives as never before. Don't forget about the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood. Oh, precious is that blood that flows and things and make us white as snow. I tell you, children of God, I encourage you as never before, is to let God have his way in and through your life. And if you don't know and understand more about the blood, go back and talk to Jesus. He'll give you greater understanding. He'll give you revelation about that blood. Until we meet again, child of God, I pray that this has been a blessing unto you, that has blessed your heart and your mind. I pray that you have a better understanding about the precious blood of Jesus. And I encourage you to go on and be all that God has called you to be, that his precious blood will continue to flow over and through you. Plead it over your family. Plead it over your homes. And watch God. See the blood. He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you, my God. Father, we thank you for this wonderful lesson. We ask, oh God, that you bless us, that you move by your power divine, and God, that we ask that you have thine own way, and we give you the praise, glory, and honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you is my prayer. Bye-bye.